Hello, everybody. It is time for Box Fort, that show where we cuddle up in our blankets, head in our forts, and talk about cool, nerdy stuff that occurred to us this past fortnight. But not Fortnite itself, because we're not that salty. I'm Aludra, and I am host one, because I'm talking first, so... And with me, of course, in his own separate box fort because of quarantine, is Ben!
Well, hello! I almost jumped in like 20 times, but I'm like, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to try and be professional and wait until I get the introduction. Because who knows, maybe Aludra's going it with, you know, a different host this week. You never know. Could be a surprise. But
yeah, Mark Hamill.
That'd be great.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
But no, he hasn't gotten back to me.
If we got Mark Hamill on the show, it would be the final episode because I would die afterwards.
You would die during.
No, I would probably hold it together enough to welcome him.
It'd be our first show with an audience because our families and loved ones would be crowded around us during the entire episode.
Yeah, maybe something along those lines. Yeah, we might even stream it or something. Because, I don't know if I told you or not, but my mom started watching Azeroth Roundtable when we're streaming it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should be nice to you when I show up.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. One, I don't think she really reads chat. But two, she pops on for just a little bit to, you know, just kind of to quote unquote see her baby. And, she laughs. She has no idea what we talk about at all because, you know, she never plays WoW or anything like that. But just the idea of her just hopping on and just like watching for a little bit. I'm like, aw, it's like when your parents come in and watch you do a stupid play at high school or something.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, she actually listens to everything I produce and put out there because she wants to support me, which is great. She never has any idea what we're talking about, has even said, hey, maybe you should, like, have a moment where somebody comes in and explains things at the most basic level.
You know what?
On your show.
We can start doing that.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I'll go into a serious descriptor voice.
Oh, yes. We all have serious descriptor voices. I just don't like to use mine because it makes my nose itch.
You're just saying that because I itched my nose just now.
Actually, no, it's because my nose was vibrating because of the voice. I really did itch my nose. My serious voice is so powerful that it makes Ben's nose itch as well.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yes, we will. It's not a bad idea. I've tried to explain things. What's really funny is that she's actually started playing D&D.
Oh, really?
I forgot till recently. There's a family game going on the same time we're doing our game. So guess who gets, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Ben, first off, I will not give up our game for anything.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, that's actually really cool.
Second off, he technically didn't invite me, so I'm not even, No,
wow.
I think they already knew I was playing, so. Okay. I'm giving them the benefit of a doubt here. But, so I asked her what she was playing, and she's like, a bard.
For those of you who don't know, a bard is one of the classes that you can play in Dungeons & Dragons, also known as D&D. Generally, they are a spellcaster of some sort that sometimes deals melee damage as well.
Yes, so I asked her what her bard subclass was, and she says, I don't know, which tells me they might be below level 3.
What a subclass is at level 3, bards are able to choose a college to help enhance their abilities in certain ways. Aludra, for example, is a College of Swords bard.
Blades bard.
College of Blades. Sorry, I don't know all of them completely
right
encyclopedia-y. Anyways, where there's an emphasis on dueling with some blades and swords and dancing around and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, basically, I don't know that I'm not a tank.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, I do have to say, on this last bit of combat, you did pretty well in kind of holding back, although you were kind of perplexed at the goings-on.
Yeah, the fight really threw my bard for a loop. Because if you pay attention to my Twitter, I did do a minor rundown about this. It was her that was being attacked, not her party. And somebody dredged up a name from deep in her history. And it's like, wow, That takes me back. Why are they here? Because the continent we're on is pretty big. It's like Europe-sized in my mind. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, sure.
But let's say she grew up in Spain, and they're pretty much over in India right now. And that'll just tell you how far apart these areas are. So, yeah. She is pretty nonplussed at the moment. But it's okay. And is about to get chewed out by the paladin for saying, hey, why didn't you tell us these guys are after you?
Which not will... necessarily. You never know.
Well, I don't know. She seemed pretty vocal about the why aren't you telling us this stuff. To which I've already got the retort ready that if it comes up, yes, because everybody knows who they were in a fight with 2 years ago. To the paladin, who's just really upset that she didn't finish anybody off.
It was a pretty good fight, I do have to say.
Back to my sister-in-law. She seems to be fighting with rapiers.
Ooh.
Which fancy. Very elegant, you know. Always an option. Very cool. I like it. And I told her I use scimitars. And she's like, yeah, what do you say when you're going to attack somebody? And I just say, I'm going to attack somebody. Let me roll a dice here. And she's like, no. She shortens the word rapier.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure you can imagine to what.
Oh, no.
And then whirls it. So...
okay, well, that's one way of doing it.
I went, oh, no, my blades are Lady and the Tramp. I'm like, bards, go big or why are you even out?
Yeah.
So, I mean, be ridiculous as a bard,
honestly. Lady and the Tramp are going to make some spaghetti sauce.
Oh, yeah, man. It's just, why are they Lady and the Tramp? It's like, because sometimes I'm a lady and most of the time I'm not. And, you know, it's just. With Bard, I love it because it's like, be big personality and you can get away with it. Like a fighter with a big personality, a paladin with a big personality. Oh, their god might have an issue with that, you know?
Oh, I can totally see any fighter with a big personality, though.
Yeah, but only in certain directions, you know? Hey. It's mostly, I'm so great about fighting. But I feel like with Bards, you can really take it in any direction.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, it all depends on what type of bard you actually go with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lore bards, not so much in the way of fighting. Lore bards generally focus on magic and also sort of
history.
Buff and debuff sort of spells, as well as dealing a lot of informational advantages to their parties. Okay, I'm going to stop doing the serious descriptor voice. That's going to make this show like 5 hours long.
But no, it's really great. And I'm really hoping that, you know, all in all, she's getting more out of the show now that she can relate to some content.
Yeah, hope so. I mean, you know, it's funny because I asked my parents and my sister to just download the shows that I do. You don't have to listen. Just download them. You can delete them right after. Doesn't matter. Downloads help with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, which is nice.
That is nice. But let's move into another realm of nerddom, because, I mean, considering all that happened in our last game, we could go on about D&D forever. We typically do.
Yeah.
But let's move on. We're taking the show in a bit of a different direction. Yes, we're still playing games. Yes, we still love them. We decided to talk about what we are nerding out about on TV right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I still think that it's fair to say that we're not even taking the show in a different direction.
We're not taking it in a different direction. I just feel like, you know, if anybody wants to know about our Animal Crossing Islands, they're going to be a little disappointed this go around.
Well, they're going to be disappointed because I haven't done anything with it.
That's not true, Ben. You logged in and got me a bug backpack, and it's beautiful, and I love it.
Well, there we go. Now we have our update on Animal Crossing.
There we go. All right. So, ever since this started, I've been watching a lot more television. Not TV, Lord, no. But, like, streaming services.
Live television? What's that?
Yeah, I'm getting enough freaking commercials on YouTube. Thank you, YouTube, for being that guy during all this.
Oh, you know what's the worst, too? Is that I don't have personalized ads turned on for Google. So my YouTube ads are based on where I live as opposed to me personally. I live in Arizona.
Are you getting that Trump ad?
I'm getting the worst, like, Republican ads that there could be.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's fake. Okay, I can skip the commercial now.
Yeah.
Like, within 5 seconds, I'm just, like, pissed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And I also don't want personalized ads, because that's creepy, too. So.
It is really creepy. It's really... I searched for a beef stew recipe once somewhere, and I'm getting the weirdest beef stews now on my phone, of all places. I did it on my browser.
This one's made of ground chuck.
Well, that's fine. But it's like, I just wanted a beef stew recipe without red wine, because I hate what the flavoring that red wine will give to the beef.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. And I spent 2 minutes, found a recipe, was like, yay for me, and moved on with my life. But no. My phone's news feed is now beef stew for life. And I'm just like, I'm so over it. I found the recipe I wanted. We're done. We can move on. Please move on. Google, I know you're listening. Time to move on from beef stew. I know it's heartbreaking, but it's also summer. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, and it's not even monsoon season here.
Yeah.
Of course, again, it's still like really hot and humid, so stew's not a good idea anyway.
I can never live where you are.
Some wouldn't, or what I do, I don't know if I'd call it living, so there you go. I'm surviving.
We're all surviving right now.
No, even in the best of years, during the summer, I'm surviving.
Oh, Ben, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's my choice to live here. Kind of.
Yeah, right?
It's one of those, where I'm employed.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to TV.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Netflix has become my best friend because it's commercial free and they are just nailing it with the shows they've got. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start. I really don't. Voltron. We'll start with Voltron because it's what I'm currently watching. Voltron so far is my first Voltron, you guys. Like, I caught episodes here and there when I was younger and it was on, you know, but they never seemed to play the episodes in order, so you never really got interested in it as a kid.
And to be fair, the one from the 80s and everything, it was very formulaic of, you know, oh, something happens. Hey, look, big monster. Oh, no. Get Voltron. Oh, no. We have to form Voltron. Form Voltron. Kill the monster. We win. Like, that was probably 90% of the episodes.
That's 90% of just most kids' cartoons is very formulaic.
Back when we were kids, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I have found that, you know, more recent stuff, not as much. I mean, granted, there's still going to be a ton. Like Phineas and Ferb is... I know I'm switching gears to a topic of overall cartoons and formulas and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Phineas and Ferb is a fantastic cartoon that is like 15 Very minutes formulaic. Of formula, then 15 minutes of the same formula in one episode. Uh-huh. And you just love it. It's fun.
Two formulas going on simultaneously.
Exactly.
Doesn't change, but it's still very entertaining.
Yeah. Whereas the newer Voltron totally goes away from that formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited for you to get even more into this.
Well, we're like on episode 4 or 6. I'm not sure because I don't have it pulled up right now because I'm doing a show. I'm not watching a show. I'm doing a show.
Oh, my God. You're like doing a show.
I know. But anyway.
I just realized if I pull up Netflix, the recording is going to pop up and play and get into the preview is going to get into the recording.
You can't. So, you're stuck.
I just wonder how many seasons there are.
So, what I've learned from Voltron so far is there's no empathy in space. Kids who are in a military training camp learning how to fly because there's a war on or just general Earth shenanigans. I think they're in the USA because, you know, Army training camp for youths really seems very US-centric.
Kind of.
There's no war on.
So, well, that we know of.
I'm pretty sure.
Probably not.
So I tend to think they're a little US-centric. So they find a lion and they all go into space because Voltron.
That's what you do.
And yeah. And the lion takes them to its home planet, which is, okay, still weird, but we're going with it. And they go and they find out they're the selected paladins and they're needed to save the universe, blah, blah, blah. Typical hero universe stuff. But where I am at in the series, they still miss home. They want to go home. Somebody even said, I'm leaving because I have goals outside of this. And the princess, who was like mind melded with everything in the universe, is shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that they are not falling down over themselves to be the special lion paladins. And they're like, well, no. And she's like, does anybody else feel this way? And they're like, well, yeah, you don't even have nachos here. They're not even trying to feed them food that is good for them. They're feeding them goo at every opportunity. They're eating like sludge. And the princess character has no empathy. She even like spent an episode making herself their enemy so they could bond together better. And it's like, no, you won't give them 5 minutes to breathe. They're falling apart. You're not helping. At all. It's like, cool, psychological torture. Yeah. So they were all like, yeah, I want to go home. One even said, that's where my mom's hugs are. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I get chosen one trope and people are usually falling all over themselves, but this is the most realistic portrayal I have ever seen, where they're like, I have goals in life outside of this. And yeah, this sucks that it's happening, but what can you do? I would like to be at home right now. And sure, yeah, the characters ended up staying for this episode. I don't know. Maybe they'll leave eventually. But it's just like no empathy at all from this princess character. And I don't like her. And she's supposed to be likable. But every time she's on screen, I just kind of roll my eyes at her.
Okay.
I know I'm not done, and I know I sound like I'm nitpicking it too much, but guys, I'm having really good time watching this. Me and Minion are. We're having the best time. It's really good. We're really enjoying what we've seen, but we are like, she has no empathy at all.
So as someone who has seen every single episode and fell in love with this series and thinks it's one of the best animated series in ever.
Yeah, that's
fine. Yeah, no, I'm just... I do not recall the beginning of the series as well as I could, because I actually pulled up the episode list and everything like that. So it originally came out in June of 2016, which is the last time that I saw those beginning episodes.
Yeah.
So my whole thing with Voltron is that when I was a little kid, I was super into it.
Yep. Because it's cool robots fighting monsters in space. Yeah,
exactly.
There's nothing to not like.
So, you know, was like my mind was blown when I was a kid when I got the you know, a set of Voltron toys as a kid. My sister did too. We watched it together. We played all the time.
Absolutely
loved it. We both had our own Voltrons and it was great. So I'm going at this with, oh, it's just going to be like a rehash or whatever, because I recently tried to watch the old one again, like not too long ago
you mentioned it,
and it is so bad. But again, you know, as a kid, perfectly fine, because I'm you know, kid. So when I started watching this, I'm like, okay. And they did things differently, like right out of the gate, which I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And like, just getting into it,
I don't know much about Voltron, but I know that they did it very differently.
Yeah. And the thing is like, just having that affinity for the old one probably made me overlook a lot of the stuff that you're bringing up now. Just because I knew how the team dynamic was going to kind of be and stuff like that. And again, it's still very different than what it was on the old show. You know, they actually have, believe it or not, character development through the whole series and stuff. And it's night and day, like, compared to the old series. So that being said, I've gone through and it's like, I probably mentioned before on the show how the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon, it starts out very kind of like, okay, you know, it's the whole introduce the kids into the characters, into the world, into the universe, and then start the storytelling. And this seems to be kind of the same thing that's going on with this, how it's like, okay, these first few episodes are kind of rough or whatever. You're getting kind of used to things, and we have to put everybody in place before we start telling the epic story bits. And that is where this show ends up. Like at the very end, like I'm not giving anything away on this, but I cried a lot in the final few episodes because of just how dramatic these things were being, how the growth that these characters had gone through and everything. And it's such an amazing journey to see it all go along the entire way that, like, that's what I'm really excited for you for.
Oh yeah. No, I'm really excited. Netflix has really hit it out of the park with their original series lately. Most of what I've watched has been their original series and I've been loving it.
Which who'd have thought, right?
I know. It's so brilliantly done. The writing has been so great. So we were really excited by Voltron because first off, you like it. You've suggested it to me. And then second, we watched this show, this channel. That is the word I was looking for, on YouTube called Overly Sarcastic Productions.
Oh.
And we don't watch a lot of the history stuff, but we do watch a lot of stuff that the person, she calls herself Red. It's animated. She's usually Red, and then the other guy is Blue. And Blue does history. He'll do histories of games, history of worlds, history, you know, where history and the real world collide, like Assassin's Creed and stuff. But she does stuff like Shakespeare summarized, and most recently than everything else, she does this little series called Trope Talks.
Okay.
Where she discusses tropes and their strengths and their weaknesses and gives examples from shows. And one thing she just cannot get enough of is Voltron as well.
Cool.
So while you got me interested in Voltron because you're Ben and you usually suggest me good things, Minion 2 was interested because it kept coming up as examples of tropes used well.
Yeah.
Especially in like the Lancer video where she talks about how there's heroes, there's nemesis. In another episode, she discussed enemies versus nemesis and such. Mm-hmm. And now is this episode about Lancers and how they are like kind of like the nemesis to villain dynamic, but with the hero. Lancers aren't bad. They just don't always agree and have opposing personalities with heroes. And so it's kind of like their foil. Mm-hmm. It's somebody you can compare the good guy to who's still good, but is more usually chaotic good. Gotcha. Than lawful good. And, you know, while they might do things differently, how that's not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes you need somebody to just walk over and punch somebody else in the face.
Yeah.
And the lawful good hero may not be the one to do that. It will be his best buddy / friend / you know, maybe even love interest, the Lancer, who will walk up and punch somebody and give you that emotional yay moment. And the hero will go, "Ah, you shouldn't have done that." And he goes, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah.
But you're not in any real trouble. And the Lancer dynamic is really interesting in Voltron for reasons I can't get into, but she did. Because you not only have a Lancer / foil, that Lancer / foil also has a Lancer / foil because of events in the series. And so you start off with basically an excess Lancer who is there, and it's kind of weird, but it also kind of works. And then the series progresses and it makes way more sense why this was set up from the beginning.
I mean, just the internal, gosh, no, that's not even the right word, just my mind is completely broken. Yeah, there you go. The dynamic of just the paladins alone is pretty amazing. And then add in the outside influences of Allura and Corrin into that. And I mean, I guess maybe the mice too. Why not? But I mean, there's so much going on.
The mice are snitches, and snitches get stitches, man. They're all telling secrets and tales outside of school. You don't do that. You don't ask for, you know, mice to be your super spies, even if it's accidental.
Anyways.
There are boundaries that you don't cross, Princess Allura. And this is coming from Petmaster Aludra. I would never, ever in a million years learn people's secrets through my pets. That was low and it was dirty and she deserved to get smacked.
Anyway, so the just like the dynamic and the world building that plays into this whole series works really well. Like, I can almost picture it as like almost a D&D story with backstories for each of the different characters. And then them like kind of going through their own growth and confrontation of the past throughout mm-hmm. the whole series mixed in with like, you know, the big bad evil guy and stuff like it is a fantastic, I guess, D&D campaign. I'm just going to throw it back to that. But yeah, it accumulates to just this perfect ending. That
I'm glad I'm good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just but, I can't praise it enough.
Oh my gosh, no. She needs mice need stitches, she needs a smack. We need the Lancer to walk up. Also, huge twist in the show happened in the first couple episodes, let me tell you. I thought I was listening to Space Sokka because he sounded like Sokka just in space.
And those actor, who don't know, I mean, Sokka from Avatar.
Yes, Avatar the Last Airbender. Sokka is the non-bender in the group, and he's really great in his own way. I thought it was the same voice actor as one of the paladins, and we were really stoked about that, because he had some of the phrasings, he had some of the accents and stresses. Same. Very similar sounding voices. Turns out, not Space Sokka. No, no. It is Finn from Adventure Time who is voicing our Space Sokka, and I just don't know what to do with this information. I mean, I need him to do a lady scream or yell mathematical or something, because... Okay, yeah, Adventure Time did calm down with the algebraic, but it's still part of the core of the show.
So, let's see. There's 8 seasons total, and...
Jeez, what?
Hold on.
I thought there were 4.
Hold on. Going through it, the way that it aired was first season, 13 episodes, second, 13. Third season, 7 episodes. Fourth season and fifth season, each 6 episodes. Then 7, then 13, then 13. So,
there were some shorter ones in there. But I still didn't expect to be signing up for an 8-season ride.
It's only 78 episodes total.
Holy moves.
So considering Avatar is like, what, 20, maybe 22 episodes per season, that's like 60 to 66. So it's only like, you know, an extra 12 on top of that. So like I said, it goes by really fast, especially once you start getting in there. Like, when they release those 6 episode seasons and I'm watching and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's over. So you'll get through it. But it does one thing that, and I think I mentioned this before when we're talking about Avatar Last Airbender, is that it keeps the comedy in there as well mm-hmm. as like their dramatic stuff. Like, you'll go through and then it'll be one full episode of just insane, crazy, funny stuff. Then the next one gets back into, like, you know, good dramatic storytelling with you know, still some comedy sprinkled in and everything. Like, they do a really good balance of, you know, the world's going to end, but then Sokka says funny stuff and keeps it kind of lighthearted at times and everything. Like, it does a really good job balancing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm glad to hear it. You can't have an emotionally heavy everything. And no. Then it's too taxing. Like, a Game of Thrones, I couldn't watch it. It's not a show I can binge. I can maybe see 2 episodes of Game of Thrones at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I quickly lost interest in it because it was just so... It's too emotionally draining. And I know it sucks because I've read the books. But reading's one thing. You're kind of detached. There's the page between you and the action.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't get that so much from the screen. And it's... so difficult for me to watch people literally be tortured and stuff. I can't do it. When I'm reading it, I can kind of turn the visualization part of my brain off and just process the words. I can't turn the visual part of my brain off when I'm watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. So I just can't deal with it. And so I missed an entire season of Game of Thrones, but knew exactly what was going on, more or less. I got a rundown from my husband. I'm like, I've read the books. What's different? He gave me the basics, and I saw the last like three episodes of the show. And I was like, okay, yeah. That was not satisfying at all.
So speaking of shows that are kind of almost... well, not exactly the most hopeful all the time and everything, and yeah. that are also a remake from something from the 70s/early 80s. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Battlestar Galactica again.
Never seen it.
It was the sci-fi reboot that happened in, like, I don't know, the 10s or something. No, mm-hmm. it was longer than, it was like 2006. I don't know, whenever it was. But sci-fi did it. And did you ever watch the original?
No.
Okay. Yeah, original is... actually not really that bad, as long as the kid's not in the episode. It had that same like late 70s early 80s issue where it's like, here's a serious sci-fi thing but there's a kid. Oh, and
so we can get children viewers to watch.
Yeah,
it
because... pretty much like yeah. Overall it had some really cool episodes. In fact, I recently went through and just watched the whole series again, which was, gosh, okay, that was maybe a couple years ago, but there's only like one season, and then like Battlestar Galactica, like part two or whatever was like the continuing season was, oh, now it's on Earth, but it's current day Earth. And then they're also from space. And it was really dumb. I watched an episode of that. I'm like, no more. But the reboot started out as just a mini series, and then sci-fi, you know, picked it up as a full series. And God, that show is so good. It is. It's not happy. It is definitely not a happy series, but if you like good sci-fi, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's got some really great storytelling. It's a crapshoot on how people feel about the ending, though. That's kind of the downside of the whole series and everything. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was great the first time I watched it, but man, it's some fun stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, the visuals.
So the reboot's pretty. Oh, sounds pretty good.
It is. The visuals are the same people who did Firefly. So like the in space stuff, the sound's not, you know, it's muted and like, you know, that sort of look to it. Yeah. I'm not saying the show's like Firefly at all, just the visuals on it. And
we all know Aludra's stance on Firefly. We will not rehash it.
Yeah, perfect. Perfectly fine. Everybody is entitled to
not
their
everybody.
Opinion.
Not everything is for everyone, yeah. But I really appreciate it for existing for you.
Yeah, but like I said, so the visuals are really good. But the neat thing is that the fighters act like they can be in space. So, you know, like mm-hmm. you're flying a ship and then all of a sudden you can like do a quick 180 flip over and then shoot the thing behind you and stuff, but still keep flying back because you're in space.
Yeah, so, you are in space. That's really cool.
Yeah, so
physics happens.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why it's like the dogfighting and stuff like that is really cool because of that. But then add the storytelling into it, and it's pretty great on top.
I really like that because no matter which direction you're going, you can't tell me you're not upside down in mm-hmm. space.
Exactly.
Like, no matter what. And it's like, so you've got to already assume there's some sort of gravity thing in the ship. So whenever they flip upside down and everything actually kind of flips, it's like, okay, you lost me entirely. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. You can't tell me they weren't upside down already.
Yeah.
You really can't. You can't tell me I'm not upside down right now on my planet. It's just how gravity works. So, yeah, if they do cool maneuvers like that, that sounds amazing. Because
it's good stuff.
That's the point of space. Is you could be upside down at any point. Nobody can tell you otherwise. But you're still on the ground. That is space.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's why, well, I mean, the movie catchphrase was the enemy's base is down. It's the whole point of that whole battle
what is
room
down
thing.
In space?
The whole point of Ender's Game when they get to the battle room of, okay, we have to figure out mm-hmm. some sort of orientation to work and stuff. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, it's just cool how they do all that stuff. But anyways,
yeah.
So the show's great. It has some misleading things. It has some mystery to it and stuff. And rewatching it again has been absolutely great, even though it is not the happiest of shows. But I do have to say, all the actors on there just blow it away. And the fact that it never got awards, completely sucks because everybody was robbed. So
robbed, I say.
Totally.
Robbed.
Totally.
Nice. Nice. Something else to add to the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not really streaming anywhere, though. I had to end up buying the series, but...
Oh, well then, that's, like, on hold.
Yeah, so, sorry about that. But regardless, it's something I've been watching, and I love it.
Okay. So, something we finished that I really enjoyed is another cartoon on Netflix. It's an original. It's called Glitch Techs. Now, Glitch Techs is about... two kids who enter the stupidest contest in the universe and lose to an idiot is the first episode. Okay. So you got this citywide gaming contest, right?
Okay.
It's citywide. And to when you win, you get, among other things, which we'll get to in a second, the title of best gamer in the city.
Oh, of course. That's an important one.
Yes. This is not a major metropolitan area by any stretch of the imagination. It's actually a bit suburbia, which matters. Because, you know, you go out of town a little bit and there's like a junkyard, which comes into play. And there's a bridge and just stuff that tells you you are not a major metropolitan area. So, not only that, but you win a part-time job.
Ooh.
At what is the Apple Store.
Oh.
Right?
Fancy.
Right. So these two, basically, they don't explain how you got your bracelets to enter the contest, but you're sent bracelets and they go to the best gamers in the city. So I imagine there was like contests and finals and semifinals and all that.
I sure hope so. Otherwise, this is like negative lottery kind of thing.
It gets dumber. It gets really dumb. So they go in and the game glitches out. And this is the point of the entire series, is that when video games glitch out in this show, it has impacts on the real world because the tech isn't what you'd call completely stable.
Oh.
And so our two main characters stumble into this truth and they get away with it by erasing people's memories, and it works. Almost every time. It turns out the main female character of the show, her memory can't be erased and nobody knows why. You'd think this would be something they'd dwell on, but they don't.
Oh, well, you know, good
they
to
just,
know.
Although she can't be erased. The guy who is basically a very famous streamer, like the biggest streamer, all these guys watch him on YouTube.
Okay.
Who already works there, entered the contest, cheated, stole their victory, and claimed the title.
What?
At this point, me and my son had to stop and debate if we wanted to keep going. The art is amazing. The first episode of this show is terrible. Like, we were like, what is his motivation?
So
I want to be...
Is he trying to get two paychecks?
Nope.
Is he?
As a matter of fact, he is a quote unquote raid leader and one of the top, he's a full-time employee already, and one of the top earners in the company for the secret game fixing that they do. We had to stop the episode and go, so Bill Gates applied for a programming contest at Microsoft to rub some kids' faces in it that he's better than them,
I guess.
Then can't win and cheated?
Yeah, there you go. Makes sense.
We had to keep watching just to see where it went. We're glad we did. It's a really great show. But that first episode with this contest and this high-paid streamer stealing their win and cheating was just...
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
I suggest this show. Laugh at the first episode. It's called Glitch Techs. Just truly laugh at it. And the absolute absurdity. But they go through a bunch of games that, like, we showed Thraxus over here, the Castlevania episode. And he was like, oh yeah, Symphony of the Night did that. We thought they were making stuff up. But it turned out Symphony, there we go.
Sympathy of the Night would be a really interesting Castlevania. You go, you talk to Dracula, and you just hear about what it's like to be immortal.
Yeah, and how nobody ever listens to him, and he's not always a bad guy.
Yeah.
Man, it's just really nice to talk to somebody about all this. And how are you doing? Yeah.
I would play that.
The second thing is this female character. I didn't need to be called out like that. Okay. I did not I suddenly had more empathy for our friend Mia. I suddenly had more empathy for our raid team. Because I didn't need to be put on blast by a cartoon character. You guys, she not only likes the adorable stuff, she's stupid, hyper, and has the attention span in game and mostly in real life of a gnat who just ate 9 pixie sticks. It's really adorable in the show. She even gets a pet by a really kind of sneaky means in the first couple episodes that she loves and adores. And she basically cons her partner into using his points for it, too. And so she gets a pet of her own that glitched out of the game. And now it's her pet.
You know, that
they have a special bond.
Thinking about that is actually making me kind of happy that you haven't been raiding with us lately, because Maui has a this pair of goggles or a buff or something that he has that makes secret fish spawn. So like we'll be just in a raid and then there's like this little bubble with a fish in it. And the whole point is you have to collect all the secret fish and then you get an achievement. So during raid, there's just a little bubble just out and about. And
That would be absolutely detrimental for my attention span.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I kind of want to go in the game now and drop this and try and find magic fish goggles. So,
well, it's pretty great.
In my older age, I have become more disciplined about not being so lax.
I will freely admit that I grab them during pulls. Yeah, like, if I'm going to some place and there's a fish on the way,
I pick fine. It up. Yeah. You're just the healer.
No, I don't heal anymore. I've been running my mage for a long time.
Nobody even needs you there, man. You're a body. You can totally click all the fish.
Oh, if I could click all of them. But I will say it's one of the things that kept me sane when we were fighting Nazoth.
Yeah.
Look, a fish. I'm going to get this before I die. Not my character. Me.
Yeah, you.
Yeah. Anyways, that sounds fun, though. Glitch Techs.
Glitch Techs. It's totally adorable. There's only the one season. We were really upset when the season ended because there were no more episodes.
Well, there might be more coming.
Yeah. But there were none at the time.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, it's just... take away quite a few years, and that was basically me, and it's still me sometimes. And unfortunately, now I have games with guns in them, so I shoot things, but then I'm like, oh, a shiny thing. And then, well, we've discussed how if you give me a little bit of a goal, it's much better. But if I don't have a goal, mm-hmm. and you give me the vaguest of instructions on what to do,
true,
it's all over.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned a show that you were really upset was out of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you about Middleditch and Schwartz, completely improvised comedy specials. So
that's a lot of words.
It is a lot of words. But, okay, so it's basically, it's two people. It's Tom Middleditch
and
Ben Schwartz. So Ben Schwartz, if did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
Yes, I did.
He is... oh, crap. I can't think of his name now.
Ben swore.
No, I said crap. That's not a swear.
No, it's not a swear, but it's fun to draw attention to it.
It could be, but it's totally not a swear.
On this Christian server, Ben.
No, what? I'm kidding.
You've never heard that meme where people are like, this is a Christian Minecraft server. We don't take swears like fiddlesticks.
No, I have never heard that.
So funny.
Are you serious?
That's funny. Yeah, it's a total meme.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's John Ralphio on Parks and Rec.
Oh, Ben Schwartz. Oh, you should have just said BB-8.
Oh, Oh, I totally forgot that he was BB. No, no, that's not BB-8. Bill Hader was BB-8.
Oh, it's also him.
Really? Yeah. Okay, now I'm checking on that one.
Yeah, real-time check. Double check me on that. So.
This weekend's trailer? No, Jeez, IMDb, stop being stupid.
I just Google, is Ben Schwartz BB-8?
Well, I mean, you could do that, but I'm not.
Yes, how Ben Schwartz became the voice of BB-8 in Star Wars.
Well, you know, if you want to do it that way, sure.
Thank you, GQ.com. All right.
Okay, anyway, so Ben Schwartz. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Bill Hader. Anyways, so Ben Schwartz and Tom Middleditch. Thomas Middleditch, he's the guy from Silicon Valley, which was on mm-hmm. HBO. Anyways, they get up on stage.
It was both of them.
Yeah, it's the two of them. Just the two of them.
No, I'm saying Ben Schwartz and Bill Hader were both BB-8.
Oh, well, hey, there you go. Okay. There.
I don't can never remember it was Bill Hader, but I do know it's John Ralphio.
Well, there you go. We were both right.
Yes, we were.
Maybe that should be the title. Anyways. So it's the two of them, Tom Middleditch and Ben Schwartz. They're on stage in front of a live theater audience. It's, you know, like a big auditorium and everything. And then they just improv a show. That's it. They take one thing and then act out a huge, like an hour long skit. I mean, you know what improv is like. You call mm-hmm. out a thing and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hysterical. It had me cry laughing so many times. There's three episodes. So I was crying when it was over because there were only three episodes. But
wait, there's literally only three episodes of the show? I thought you were talking about there were three episodes that in this run or something.
There's no, there's only three
episodes of the show. Oh, wow.
They're about an hour each, so worth watching. And, I mean, the two of them are so funny. And because the skit goes on for so long, sometimes they forget what they're doing. And then they, like, backups, like, okay, now how do we get here, here, here? Okay. And then they forget who they are in the skit because they play multiple people going through this entire thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a, like, the big one that stands out in my mind is the wedding. The one with the wedding is just fantastic, just absolutely fantastic. But the other ones are really good too. And I mean, I don't want to spoil any of the good jokes, but it's just so good, and they both do such a great job with improv. It's essentially one of those things where you know, a comedic actor is actually a fantastic actor if they can get you to laugh and perform comedy. That means that they can do drama, because mm-hmm. you know, really good comedians can do drama because you have to act with that. Not all comedians can do improv.
No. Improv's really difficult, and it's a very special skill set that mm-hmm. not everybody has. So, I mean.
Yeah, so when you come across two people who do improv as well as they do, and just, like, gut-busting laughter making me cry, like, I don't think I can even oversell this. I laughed wow. so hard.
So this is like a Honey Bee Manor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Honey Bee Manor thing. Definitely check that out when you got some time. Cool. Definitely not for kids. Some of the things that they talk about and do and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, your kids very are grown. Very important so
for
it's
our
fine.
Listeners to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Very important. But oh my God, it is. It's good. It's really good. Anyways, that's it for that. I got to throw that out there because right now, everybody needs something to make them smile. And
they do.
Hopefully this will help because,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good. In fact, I might have to rewatch it because, like, you know how some sitcoms
wow,
are
you've
like,
got limited time. Anything that you're willing to rewatch is amazing.
Well, technically almost everything on this list is a rewatch for me. Well, actually, no, not really. Now that I look at it. Anyways, but like, you know how some like sitcoms or shows or whatever that are like really good are basically like a laugh every minute. Like it just keeps going. There's so much going on in this that there's no way I caught everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's,
I love rewatching things and catching things that you missed, because if you really enjoyed it or really love whatever it is, mm-hmm. those little bits that you catch later are so great. You know, they are just, they make you love the show or whatever it is so much more.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes
than you already do.
And sometimes it's those little tiny bits that are in the background that just accentuate everything that's going on that you never noticed to begin with. Like some of my favorite movies do that quite a bit, especially like Marvel movies are really good about the background stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, going through and watching a comedy thing that was great and then catching even more as you go through it's a blessing. So yeah, check it out. Middle Ditch and Schwartz, completely improvised comedy specials.
Nice.
Yeah. So what else have you been watching?
Let me see. I don't know if I can beat that amazing comedy. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to take this in a whole new direction.
Switch
man.
Gears. All right. Let's do this.
Let's switch the gears, man. I'm looking at my list and I got it. The new Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, okay. When
did
I was
you ever
a kid,
watch Unsolved Mysteries as a kid?
When I was a kid, it terrified me.
Oh, yeah. Robert Stack was a master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they have the same theme song, but no host.
Oh.
Absolutely no host. And you're like, oh, how's that going to work?
How can they do that?
It's like a mini documentary about the crime with no narrator.
Huh.
It is so good. It is so good. We are three episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
We are loving it. The first episode, we're all yelling at the TV, that's so shady. Why would he do that? Oh my gosh. He's guilty. Not exactly the goal of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still very entertaining to watch. And in the second one, you know, it's just like, is there like an obvious shady guy in each one? And the cops are like, well, we don't have enough evidence to say that he is guilty, but we don't have enough evidence to
say
point
he's
that
not.
He's not involved somehow. And it's like...
So it's like... You're playing Clue, you've got the murder weapon in the room, and it's down to two people for the murderer.
Exactly. Or sometimes even five. Oh, man. There's this really heartbreaking one where this guy's mom disappeared when he was 16. She's just gone one day. And I won't talk about so much the mystery as the fact that his stepdad that day changed the locks and kicked him out.
That's really interesting.
He's like, I didn't want to deal with him and I wanted my headspace. And it's like, wow, we get you didn't like him because, you know, you just were that guy. But that's still his home.
And
why would you throw him out? His mom's gone. He needs his home. He's like, he wouldn't let me get my stuff. He wouldn't let me get anything. I stayed with a friend for a while and then I had to go out of state to my dad. And it's like, holy cow.
That doesn't seem legal.
Yeah, it really doesn't, honestly. And, oh, yeah. And this guy still takes this perverse joy in depriving this now grown man of things from his childhood.
Oh my God.
Or mementos of his mother. And it's just like...
Oh, yeah, he totally didn't do that.
And then all of the ladies' friends are like, yeah, I'd still be looking into the husband. And he's like, I don't know what they're talking about. Our marriage wasn't on the rocks or anything. She wasn't thinking about divorce. All her friends and the boy were like, yeah, she wanted to leave him. And it's like,
Wow.
It's really good. First off, again, they have the same theme song. That music starts. You know what's happening. You might as well be in your jammies and it's 8 p.m. and it's, I think, a school night and you're not supposed to be watching it, but your parents are kind of letting you watch it anyway. And oh my God, that guy murdered that lady and what is going on? And the reenactment actors are totally the bad guys.
Well, and the funny thing too is that like, this isn't one of those things that your parents could have like stopped midway, like, or fearful to stop midway because you didn't get a resolution, you know, like, it's like horror movies, you know, if you stop it in the middle and don't give your kid that ending, that's what screws them up. With Unsolved Mysteries, there's no ending. Like, no matter what you do, it's just not a good thing.
As a matter of fact, once me and my sons, when we were just getting into Doctor Who, I said, okay, guys, let's just watch one more episode. You get to stay up a little late. We're good. It would have been half an hour or so over their bedtime.
Yeah.
and we're going to watch this one last episode. And they were all excited because they really loved it. It was early on in the show. And it was the World War II one, that very first one with the kid in the gas mask.
Oh, geez.
Which is a very terrifying episode of Doctor Who, in case you guys don't know, the new series of Doctor Who. There's a little boy. There's something wrong with him. He's in a gas mask because it's World War and there's bombing. The Blitz is going on.
Even that he's in a gas mask. His face is a gas mask.
Well, you find that out a bit later in the episode. But yeah, his face is the gas mask and he's asking people, are you my mummy? And if you're not his mummy or you don't answer the question right, turns out he's really strong and he's very angry and he really wants his mother. And it's a really messed up episode. And that is one of the very few that end on a cliffhanger. I looked at my two terrified children and said, okay, next episode. And they went, what? I'm like, I'm not making you go to sleep after that. You need to see the ending. And I'm sitting there the entire episode. Please be okay. Please be okay. Please end it well. Please don't do this to me. Please. Oh, my God. What did I do? I thought I was giving my kids a treat. I'm traumatizing my kids. Oh, thank God. A good resolution. Okay, bedtime.
And, I mean, to be fair, one of the best resolutions that show's ever had, too.
It really was. It was really heartwarming and great. But there was a moment where I was terrified. I had just messed up my kids. There was no unsolved mysteries when they were little. We had no practice runs for something this terrifying. It was a kid who was morphing the townspeople into people with into gas mask wearing zombies.
To be fair, I'm a grown man and I have watched that episode and it is scary. So much so that at one of the Phoenix Comic Cons, someone, you know, a kid-sized person dressed up like that as their cosplay. And I saw that and turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't real, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. That was a really scary episode. They actually show somebody morph into a gas mask zombie.
Yeah. Great two episodes.
That's a fantastical thing, right? Mm-hmm. That is something that you can logic to. That is never going to happen. Alien spores are not going to attack our planet and think gas masks are our faces.
Well,
this is not a reality.
As far as we know.
It's not one we should waste energy on.
I mean,
but the stuff in Unsolved Mysteries is stuff kids can worry about. You know, my stepdad doesn't like me. Oh my God, is he going to murder my mother and kick mm-hmm. me out in the middle of the day?
Yeah, well, it's almost like with scary movies. For the most part, I don't get scared from, I mean, okay, when I'm watching it, I'm scared because anything that I'm watching, I put myself in, you know, emotionally, I'm so invested into it. Yeah, that's why I don't do scary mm-hmm. games, why I don't do a lot of scary movies. That being said, I don't carry it with me afterwards unless it's something that is like serial killer-ish or mm-hmm. like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Sure, that's fantastical, but it's still plausible in a sense. Whereas mm-hmm. like something like The Ring or, you know, The Grudge or something like that, it's like those are freaky and they have visuals that are just mind-blowingly scary. But once the movie's over, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, because is that really going to happen? No. Of course, in the dark, it's really difficult to remember. True. That.
Yeah, sometimes there's silhouettes in this apartment that if I'm walking around at night and I'm just kind of like, nah, everything's fine. And then I walk closer, I'm like, is it? And then I'm like, no, it is.
Oh, man. Man, so yeah, but gratefully, my kids are adults. So Unsolved Mysteries is kind of like, oh, cool, especially the younger one. I was really worried when he was younger, but it turns out he and his dad watch horror movies a lot. I just do not partake in this bonding experience. Yeah. So Unsolved Mysteries is right up his alley. But if you got little kids, just beware. The stuff they talk about is not only kind of graphic sometimes, but it also is very real because this stuff really happened.
Yeah. Very true.
Well, it's not like you can watch the next episode and find the resolution. It's only been on for one season, and they haven't had the resolutions like the old show got to do. Mm-hmm. Update, you know, where they play the same clip, the entire same clip.
And not every episode was updated. Not everyone
did.
Yeah.
No, but now and then they do a clip update. And, you know, after you'd see a clip and you go, this is kind of familiar. They wouldn't even hint that this is like a redo until they go, update. Police have found new evidence where John Hancock actually did do the thing. And so, thanks to your tips, we have found him. And he is no longer a fugitive. And he is now turned in. And I said John Hancock because it was the first name to come into my head.
You mean Herbie Hancock. Yeah, so,
well, we found him with several aliases, including Herbie and Francine.
So if you want to talk about something that is a little out of the realm of horror, but definitely not scary, my last thing to talk about tonight is a wonderful, wonderful TV show based off of originally a movie called What We Do in the Shadows.
This is on Hulu.
Yes, it is.
Is this our first Hulu show?
I think so. We're discussing? I think so.
Okay, cool. Nothing I've talked about so far has been on Hulu.
I'm not sure if the movie is or not. So, backstory, the movie is a mockumentary about a film crew.
I love it.
Who follows three vampires around Brooklyn, I believe. And it's hysterical. It is from...
It is so funny.
Yeah, it is from... I am doing horrible with names. It's Taika Waititi and what's his face Clement from Flight of the Conchords, but Jermaine Clement.
Okay, thank you.
I did that without looking it up. And it is absolutely hysterical. It is vampires from hundreds of years ago living in the present day and just following them around and stuff. It's a hoot. It is tons of fun to watch. If you can find the documentary, definitely watch that first.
But you can watch the show without knowing anything because the show is about four different vampires.
Exactly. Exactly.
And though there's cameos and little throwback moments, you don't really have to know about it to... It's just another layer of funny that you can totally miss.
Yeah, it's really only one episode that really touches on it more than anything else. But
yeah,
the series is great. They've had two seasons so far, and it is just... It's stupid fun. It plays with vampire tropes and just adds a level of hilarity of... the like man out of time or fish out of water kind of storytelling, but for someone who has been in that area for like a super long time and has never acclimated, and then mix it with really great guest stars and just, you know, crazy supernatural funny stuff. It's like really fun supernatural stuff if it were like in the real world, a la Shaun of the Dead. So it's like, oh, you know, Shaun of the Dead is what would happen really in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is like, oh, if vampires really did exist, this kind of crap would probably be what's going on.
You know, it's so funny because we watch the intro every time. My husband loves that song.
Oh, it's a great song.
And if you watch the intro, you know, it starts with the oil paintings and everything, and then they go through the decades. They can fit in. It's just they're currently choosing not to fit in. And there's pictorial evidence of this. They were dressed as pilgrims at one point, showing that you know, they came to the new world and they did assimilate in the culture. And most recently, they have a photo of them dressed in entirely teased out, aqua-netted hair, leather jackets, and 80s. They can assimilate. They're choosing not to right now. It's like they need a break from human culture.
Well, and the funny thing
is,
and
then
it
jumps ahead because they take this break for like a decade. This is my own theory. It jumps ahead because they're taking this break for like a decade or two. And then they have no idea what's going on. So they're confronted with something like a computer and they're like, what is this?
See, I look at it as the only reason why they're dressed the way that they would be for a certain decade or whatever is because they're going to like some sort of party.
Even then, even currently, when they go to parties, when they went to the Super Bowl party, they didn't change.
Yeah, no, that's
true.
They
were still in cloaks and velvets and stuff. And with their crazy hair. And when they, you know, when they go out in the world, and they've gone to a few parties and clubs and stuff.
Yeah, but there's even, if I remember correctly, there's a scene that has them like, this is when we went and did this. And or maybe it's the movie that does that, but it has them like, it shows them dressed up in like the 80s party or something like that.
I think that was the movie.
Yeah, but that might be where I'm getting mixed up. That's
not this group of vampires. This group, they're like, no, man, it's 2020s. I'm going to wear whatever I want and you can deal with it. And it's so hysterical
so
to
good.
See them so confused. You know, they're confused by things, but yet there's all these hints that, you know, they know how to drive. They're just choosing not to. And when that one guy transforms into a bat and every time he yells bat, you have to pause the show. It's so brilliant. He just yells bat and turns into a bat and flies away. And it's like, oh my gosh, you don't have to do that. But maybe you do have to do that.
And then the one time that they captured him, he turns into a human. He goes, human form.
Yep.
They've only done that once, but it's so perfect every single time I think about it.
Yes, it is so great. So...
yeah, so
great show on Hulu.
If you can catch out the movie, or if you can catch the movie, definitely watch that too. I mean, all of it is great and funny, and like we said, there's not a whole ton of overlap. Just like one episode, kind of a little bit, but that episode will have you laughing at
the world.
Enough other stuff.
It's a good introduction to the world, but you don't really need it because the show also does a pretty good job of introducing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just some elements you may not understand immediately if you don't watch the movie.
So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, really check it out. I highly suggest this one, too. It's a family favorite.
Well, anything else you want to toss in before we pull up those drawbridges?
YouTube, you suck. Too many ad breaks. Hulu, you're getting there.
There you go.
Also, Hamilton on Disney Plus is really great. You should watch it.
All right. Oh, one last thing for me, too. I haven't watched it enough to really get a good feel for it, but I started watching The Dungeon Run on YouTube. It's a D&D game.
I don't have the brain space for more D&D games to watch.
This seems to be a lot of mostly like literal dungeon runs. I'm only like four episodes in. I'm taking my time kind of going through and stuff, but I like the characters so far. So,
well, I'm playing Harvest Moons. It's Story of Seasons, Friends of Minnertown on the Switch. And while that's going on, I'm watching old episodes of Critical Role in the background. And I could watch something new, but then I wouldn't have the brain space for my game.
Understood.
And I'm really focusing on that. And it's like, I love D&D, really, really do, but watching other people play it, I only have so much time for that.
No, I get it.
And there's so many great shows. There's like, hey, Ben, +5 to hit. And there's There Will Be Dungeons and stuff. But even then, I'm behind. And it's like, ugh.
I get it. It's okay. The good news is there's going to be a good starting up point on +5 to hit pretty soon here.
Yeah, good. We'll let everybody know when that is done recording so they can jump in if they haven't already.
And by pretty soon, I mean in like the next 2 months or something like that. But we'll let you know.
Definitely. Ben, you're so great. Besides +5 to hit, where can we find you? Oh, and here, of course, Box Fort, the amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I also do, if you want to talk about Dungeons & Dragons, you can always check me out on D&D Discussions. It's a show where I talk about D&D through a player and a DM perspective, which I have to be careful with what I talk about on that sometimes when I'm talking about my own game, because one or two of my players might listen to that. So can't give out too much. But other than that, if you want to hear me talk about World of Warcraft, you can listen to Azeroth Roundtable.
No. I want to hear Azeroth Roundtable be discussed by World of Warcraft.
You know what? That happened once on the weekly or monthly thing that came out. It popped up and said, Azeroth Roundtable.
The World of Warcraft blog posts that they do talking about creator spotlights.
No, we didn't get a whole creator spotlight. We were just on the schedule. No, but I'm just saying
they do they do spotlights for creators in their community, and that's what the thing that you appeared on was.
No, still not that.
I'm giving you credit for it. Deal with it. It was in the roundy of, hey, you updated a thing.
Yeah, okay. Good enough then.
Yeah. Come on, Ben.
Yeah. Well, if people are looking for you, like, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that, where's a good place?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Aludra's Pets. I do talk about D&D there quite a bit sometimes. Other times I talk about my dirt digging adventures and various dirt digging games, or about birds that decide to land on me when I'm reading in the park.
That was pretty epic, though. Like, even though I know you didn't like it. Oh, you have video? I need to see the video then.
Yeah, the video is... He only filmed it after we got the bird off.
That's
but I knew what was happening because we took a blanket to a very empty park. It was great. We brought books, reading in the sun and a nice grass on a blanket, and a bird lands on my butt and starts demanding food. And we know it was demanding food because it wasn't quiet the entire time it visited us.
That's just awesome. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
And it's like, oh, I don't need this. Then I'm like, do I got bird poop on my pants?
Pretty much.
Yeah, no, they were clean, thank goodness. But for anybody who doesn't know, just real quick, Aludra doesn't like birds.
In real life,
I do not like birds. I'm a little bit afraid of them. So this is something that I had to deal with in my life. I was so afraid of hurting the darn thing, I just froze.
You're like that cat that where they put like the thing on top of its head and it just freezes.
Yes.
It's like something's on me.
I was so scared of accidentally hurting. So if you want to hear about crazy situations that it only seems I can get into, check there. I am usually running my mouth off. Yeah. The show is at a Box Fort Show. We pop into there now and then.
I think so.
Arch our eyebrows. Run away. And you can email us at boxfortshow@gmail.com.
Exactly. Oh, and if you're looking for me on Twitter, I'm at Ben Bumhofer.
Yep. Which still doesn't seem like your real name.
I've had it my entire life, all 40 years.
Nope, that's not true. You've been called other things.
I have been called other things, but I've had this name my entire life.
Weirdo. All right. Hey, Ben, have you been, adding more towers to the box forts?
I've been working on mine.
Guys, send all cardboard damnations too. No, I'm kidding. Thanks for listening. Please stay safe.
Yep, until next time, everybody, be good to each other.
Bye. Seriously, I need those crayons back.